The story you're about to enjoy is a factual tale, read to you from a fictional location. We believe.
Darling, there you are. I wish you would tell me when you're popping down to the shops. There were a few items you could have retrieved for me.
I'm sorry, madam. I was in a hurry.
What is all of this? Bone combs? Daisies?
Not daisies, madam. Daisies. It's a daytime sleep aid for our banshees. And I thought they'd like these imported bone combs.
Where in our village did you find these things?
Grimm's Grocers, of course. They have that secret back room, you know. Madam, when was the last time you were actually in the village?
Well, what's today?
Friday.
Well, let's see. Friday, Thursday, Wednesday, two years ago.
Welcome to the Midnight Library, everyone. Please make yourselves comfortable here in the warmth of the reading room. I'm your librarian and host, Miranda Merrick. Thank you all for coming in for a reading on this moonless night. Since the library is at the very farthest reaches of the village on a lonely stretch of land, we want you to know that it means so very much to us that each of you has found your way here safely. Whilst on your way here, you must have noticed the comforting sounds of the dark, chilled night. Mr. Darling may have teased you into believing that we have weeping willows that can actually be heard weeping. However, what is a little more true is that we have so much nocturnal wildlife on our surrounding acres. There's the high-pitched chirping of the coroner crickets, the piercing call of the Oneida owls. There's even rumor of a strange and rare breed of wolves being this far north, if you believe such things. There are even more exotic-sounding creatures out on the moor. Their cries drift along on the fog for us to enjoy. One such being that we absolutely do not have in our very midst is the ethereal banshee. After all, what on earth would be the purpose of such things to us? We do, however, have extensive information about these fascinating forlorn creatures. As far back as ancient Greece, burial ceremonies for the recently deceased have been a focal point in nearly every society. Death brings with it certain demands, especially if you happen to be a nobleman or well-known public figure, or wanted to give the impression that you were of great significance and that your death is certainly everyone else's tragic loss. The responsibility of conveying this message to society that you were so exalted and beloved, fell upon your family or your company of companions to see to it that your funeral was the deeply sorrowful spectacle that it should be. They needed to prove to the public that they had lost someone extremely valuable. You were a pillar of the community, and not actually just some rat that needs to be thrown in a hole to keep the stink out of the air, right?
Madam, I've changed your name and address again, as you requested.
Ugh. Thank you, Mr. Darling. You know how I hate being found by any and all high school reunion committees, or found by anyone in general.
That reminds me. I imagine we should tell our guests how they, too, can hide themselves away and still get the best entertainment around, all in the privacy of their own homes.
ExpressVPN, my lovelies. This is the service you need to get what you want and stay completely out of sight.
You may know that ExpressVPN can protect your privacy and online security, but you should further know that you can unlock and watch literally thousands of current movies and TV shows that are only available in other countries. Well, we work at home, sort of, and sometimes I just want to peruse a Netflix library, you know? Want to watch Doctor Who, Blackadder, two of my favorites, or even Japanese anime? Simply open the app on any device. Choose from almost 100 different countries where you want sites to think you're located. and ExpressVPN will give you access to it and cloak your actual location. Presto, you disappear. But it's not just Netflix. ExpressVPN works with any streaming service. Hulu, BBC iPlayer, YouTube, you name it. Try it for 3 months for free right now.
Give them the code, Mr. Darling. Tell them how we've got them covered.
It's easy. Visit expressvpn.com/midnight. Be delightfully deceptive about your online activity and get an extra 3 months of their service free. You'll be supporting the Midnight Library, gain access to entertainment you like, and become completely invisible. ExpressVPN.com/midnight. Signed for the shipment of Wolf Chow and Ouija boards, madam.
Certainly. What's my exciting new name?
Firanda Ferret.
Wow. Ah, but the mourners also need to maintain their dignity and be beautifully sullen. They should be dressed in their finery and stoic in their grief. They shouldn't be seen groveling at your gravesite like some pathetic lunatics. Luckily, this was easily solved in past times, as you could simply hire a pathetic lunatic. I mean, professional mourner. In past times, this person or persons would arrive at your funeral and essentially act as though they were completely and utterly distraught because you, a person they had likely never met, had died. And while the ancient Greeks had actual living humans to simulate sadness, in Celtic folklore, it was believed that fairy folk could weep or sing in a much more beautiful and enchanting fashion than any human person. So melancholy tales of sorrowful fairy women sobbing at gravesites became a common theme. The graves of the most esteemed families would most certainly be visited by these beloved, unearthly creatures. They, no doubt, felt the depth of the great family's loss and would cry and sing most sweetly over the family's newly deceased loved one. If you were an extremely important or particularly holy person who had died, it was believed that several of these morose fairy maidens would show up to wail in unison over your recumbent corpse. The very word banshee derives from ban, meaning woman, and she, meaning spirit or sprite. It became a belief in some families that this protective fairy woman would even forewarn the family of impending doom of a family member by crying or wailing in advance of a forthcoming death. How kind. But not everyone could appreciate such a warning, so it became a frightful thing to hear the cry of a banshee or to see one with one's own eyes. Their presence was a sign of imminent death. And just to be clear, the presence of the poor banshee is not the cause of your death. I mean, the death. The sad creature is only there as the harbinger of it. Historically, in Irish culture, this real-life person was called a keener. To keen, or the act of keening, was to behave as though one were in deep mournful pain over the loss of a deceased person, for money, and sometimes alcohol. In fact, this kind of work was actually a lucrative way of life for many women back then. Women were more suited to carry it off, not only because they had more, let's call it freedom of expression, but also because they could be costumed in the typical mourning garb of the times, the wearing of opaquish veils, their faces obscured with scarves and hoods to hide their true identity. With anonymity, a woman could go from funeral to funeral, each one an opportunity to show how skilled she was at grieving with inconsolable misery. When the funeral goers witnessed the depth of her beautiful, heartbroken despair, onlookers would no doubt think, "Oh, we should get her." The earlier proposal that banshees followed certain families has stayed within Irish folklore for some time.
This came to be believed because it was thought that some Keening women became attached to these families in real life, having attended so many of the family's funerals, that even after the Keener or Banshee herself had passed away, her mournful spirit continued her duties to her beloved family. My friends, that is top service. In Irish history, there are said to be banshees that follow certain families. This was thought to be either to hauntingly harass the family with relentless wailing, or to forewarn them out of a deep abiding love for them. Just a few of the famous family names said to have these dedicated banshees in service, and I invite you not to make too much of this if you happen to know or be someone with one of these names. The O'Briens, O'Gradys, O'Neills, Kavanaughs, and the O'Connors. Perhaps we should just take it that these were historically notable family surnames, and certainly not a collection of ancestrally cursed, doomed, and forever haunted people, because that would be silly, wouldn't it? Although it was thought that these mournful spirits were more apt to be heard than actually seen, we do have some glorious descriptions of their appearance. In many instances, the banshee is said to be an elderly crone-type woman, thin, with long silvery hair, which she could be seen gently combing in the soft light of the moon. For this reason, in past times, it was said that you should never pick up a found comb, because in doing so, you, a human, would then be in possession of an enchanted fairy belonging, and this would cause the fairies to kidnap you, or worse. The women are sometimes young, serene, graceful creatures draped in sheets or shrouds. They are described as having glowing, pearl-like, pale skin, but their eyes show a deep ruby red from an eternity of crying. In some families, the legendary ominous woman can be heard singing an almost hypnotic lullaby-type song about the ill-fated soul and their soon-to-be grieving family. The song might be heard by others for several days in advance of the death of the loved one, but in some told lore, the song can only be heard by the singular person for whom it is intended. Banshees, again, are not known for ever causing death or bodily harm to anyone who has ever laid eyes on them, although it has been rumored that upon hearing the horrific cry of the miserable creature, one could be driven insane. Another visionary kind of banshee was the washing woman. She could be seen on the banks of a lonely river or stream, calmly rinsing the blood out of the clothing of the soon-to-be-doomed person. One of the more rare accounts of a witnessed banshee was that of a headless woman bearing a bowl of blood. Obviously the more silent type. In a slightly more modern setting, the banshee is believed to be a female ghost or spirit who can be heard just outside your home or door. In the still of the night, perhaps upon waking from a dream, you distinctly hear a woman's voice sadly speaking or softly singing. Her language sounds unfamiliar or foreign, and yet you somehow seem to understand, to know. Her voice delivers the unmistakable message of death. Luckily, as I said, we have no such creatures here on the grounds of the Midnight Library. No? Nothing like that here in regards to anyone here or anyone who visits. Everyone is safe from such things here. We only have goodness and light and the best possible outcomes for everyone at all times. Safe and good and happy and living forever, for all time.
Madam, a light hail has begun to fall. I believe our guests should like to depart in order to avoid any unpleasantness.
Oh, of course. I see. My dear guests, please gather your things and Mr. Darling will see you out onto the grounds and send you on your way. Safely, of course.
Madam, you really must be careful when speaking to the guests about what is and isn't here at the Midnight Library. It's too unsettling for you. Here, calm yourself and have your tea.
Thank you, Mr. Darling. I'll try to be more mindful of which cats, if any, I let out of the bag. Cersei's bloomers, what on earth is this tea?
It's your normal brand, madam.
Well, I don't normally have to chew it.
I believe we're out of regular milk, madam. That's banshee milk.
Oh, I didn't know our banshees were nursing.
I did.
The Midnight Library is co-produced by Tess Feifel and Astonishing Legends Productions and is edited by Sarah Voorhees-Wendell with music and sound design by Ryan McCullough. Special thanks to Miranda Merrick and Mr. Darling. No part of the show may be reproduced in any manner without express written consent. Copyright Astonishing Legends, all rights reserved.